Morning, guys. I am so glad that I can never live up to the expectation that Andre just created around me preaching this morning. But I know a person that can, and his name is Jesus. And I'm very excited this morning for what he has got planned for us. And we're switching it around a bit. We're going to have a time of worship a little bit later on this morning, because we do feel that the Lord wants to do something. And we just want to lay a little bit of groundwork with the word this morning before we give ourselves to the Lord in that. Is that good? Is jylle wakker? Everybody's so far. I love it when people are up. Jylle moet my spoeg gaan. I love it when people sit. So you'll see, Andre, you're in the firing. No. The topic, you'll see there, the topic this morning is about the gifts of the Spirit. But the title of the preach is Encountering Jesus Through His Body, because that's what the gift of the Spirit is all about. It is actually, when it boils down, it is encountering the person of Jesus. That's what it is, the main thing this morning. And it's a topic that's very close to my own heart. I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in a very, I'm going to say controversial, what is it, man? Traditional, is that the word? Yeah, controversial. A traditional church. And so what we grew up is the pastoor or the dominee, there was always this man of God, and he was the one with the gifting. And we supported the gift that was in him. And so whenever there was people that were sick, whenever they needed to be preaching, whenever there needed to be a word of encouragement, of huisbesoek, then it would be the pastoor or that person that comes and brings the gift of God to the people. That's how I grew up. And then we got to a church called Joshen. And Joshen is by far not the only one, but for us, it was a revelation. It was something new. We saw people, regular people, coming out of their seats, and they went to go and share something with the guy in front there. And then the guy gives the mic to that person. Like, what? What is that person going to do with the mic? And then that person comes and says, I feel that the Lord is sharing something with me, and I want to share it with you guys. And for us, it was a revelation. It was something new. It was something so beautiful as we saw people partaking. When there was prayer for people, Richard used to say, please come people, just come a few people. Exactly like we had this morning with Nida being prayed out, exactly the same thing. And there was various people praying, not just this one person. And for us, it was such a beautiful picture of what church really should be looking like and looks like if we do it well. And so this morning, myself and Andre, I think our hearts are to kind of demystify a little bit the gift of the Spirit, declutter it a little bit, and just bring it down to the basics. And I'm not going to teach specifically into the specific gifts because I don't have time for that. I did ask Andre for a three-hour session. I promised him I will break it up into 1 hour, but he said, no, there's just no way. So I've got a few minutes in which we can do that. But the most important thing is when we speak about encountering Jesus through the body, the intention of the Father is that we meet with His Son intimately, personally, face to face, and that we encounter something of Him. That's the purpose. That's the intention. That's God's heart when it comes to that. So I'm going to ask Paul this morning, because I didn't write any of these scriptures. I'm just relaying this morning. I'm going to do a lot of relaying this morning. But Paul's going to do the teaching this morning. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's read the first verse there. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And that word uninformed, you can go look it up in the Greek. It's a very packed word. It means I don't want you to be unaware. I want you to be filled in. I want you to have the sufficient knowledge about the gifts of the Spirit. I don't want you to be uninformed. But there's also a measure of, it's important for you to understand. It is for you good important for you to have a good understanding of exactly what does it mean what does the gift of the Spirit mean. It was almost like Paul coming to the Corinthians and saying, listen, that the guys teach you guys about the gifts. What? They didn't teach you about it. They didn't say anything. And kijk eens over die elders and no, guys, julle moet, you know, it's almost like, are you informed or are you not informed on this topic? And I'm trusting that in Somerset West, you guys are informed in a way. And if you're not informed this morning, if this is your very first time, there is so many resources. There's a video clip. I don't know if we're going to see it this morning, but there's a video clip that just went out this week on the 412 Facebook page about the gifts of the Spirit, and so much resources. So if you are unfamiliar, if you don't know that, and if this teaching doesn't take you deep enough, there's a lot of resources there. So get informed and teach, see what the Bible says about that. Because it is very important. Because I can promise you, the minute that Andre said, yeah, the topic this morning is the gift of the Spirit, I promise you, each one of you had a different internal reaction to that, didn't you? Who's the ones that got nervous? Come on, be honest. I'm definitely one of them. Yeah, there's certain, you get nervous. There's a, wat gaan nou gebeur? You know, this thing is going to get funky, you know. And so you get nervous or anxious about that because sometimes there's a lack of understanding. If you have a gift, but you're not practicing it, do you feel pressure? So sometimes you feel a bit of pressure. Oh no, somebody's going to call on me to come and do something. What if I get the word wrong? What if I pray and nothing happens? What if something? And so there's going to be different reactions. And I think sometimes a lot of these reactions that we have is driven by just a misunderstanding of what the gift is and what the gift is not and what the boundaries of that, because God has set out very beautiful boundaries. He set leaders in place, like Andre here in front. So if you have a word this morning, and we're going to go look at the different, but if you have a word this morning, you have this beautiful safety net of a leader that God has placed here that you can come and submit it to. And then he has the responsibility to either release it into the congregation or not. But the onus, the pressure is not on you. And so that's why I say sometimes just the understanding of that makes us have a different reaction that often makes us either not go there or a bit resistant or something of that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, so let's go and look at the gifts. And I'm going to skip a few verses now and then we're going to go back into. So 1 Corinthians 12, let's quickly look at the gifts. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. By another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, a gift of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one as he determines. There's a mouthful. That's a lot of in one go. But let's quickly break it down. Else we can go to the next one there. There's just a summary. And then in Romans 12, there's some more gifts that's added there. And I think even if you go through other scriptures, there's even more gifts that we can add to that. But those are the ones that we are mentioning now. Wisdom, knowledge. It is, I don't know if everybody has ever experienced the gift of wisdom. It is that time when you speak something and after you've said it, you think, who just said that? Because I know I'm not that clever. Huh? And I promise you, I've been in sessions where we minister to people and you speak and something comes out of my mouth and I know and God knows that that was not my cleverness. And so that's the gift of wisdom, where you get to speak into a situation and you know this is God speaking through you. The same with the word of knowledge. The gift of faith, when you encounter Jesus through the gift of faith, it's those guys that walk into a room and they believe anything can happen at any time. And we need them in the church. We need them in the church. It's like when we went to Lowe's.com the other, was Low. We went to Lowe's.com the other evening. Yes, man. They started praying for people, and even my knee got healed that evening. It was amazing. But it was just that thing of anything can happen at any time, and I've got the faith for that. And that's a gift. And then we've got miracles, prophecy, Andre mentioned prophecy. Prophecy has changed. We would not have been in Somerset West today if it wasn't a person coming with the gift of prophecy and being willing to give that prophecy to us. And God using that to do amazing things and bring clear direction into our lives. The gift of discernment, the gifts of tongues and interpretation. Now the gift of tongues. Who was at that gathering when there was the guy that spoke in Spanish? Who was there? Huh? For those that were not there, we were at a gathering last year, and a guy came during worship. A guy came to the front, and he had a tongue. And so, a tongue is something that we can't understand, you know, with our ears. It's a spiritual tongue. But he came and he delivered a tongue. And a few minutes later, a young guy came to the front and he said, "Listen, I'm living in South Africa, but I'm actually original from Spain or somewhere. I can't remember the language. I think it was in Spain." And he said, the guy that just spoke, he spoke in Spanish. And he said, what he said in Spanish is into the wilderness, which was exactly the topic of what Lucas was going to preach on that evening. It was amazing. It's like, whoa. But that is how it works. So the Lord says when there's a public tongue, when there's a tongue amongst us, there needs to be an interpretation of that. And that's a gift. That's not something in us. That is something that the Holy Spirit brings for a specific purpose. And then there are others that I'm not going to go in now. Gifts of serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, gifts of leadership, and gifts of mercy. And again, we won't have time to go into that, but that's the 412 website. Go there this afternoon and go and listen to those resources. Amazing to go and learn about these things. But I want to get stuck into the heart behind this gifts. What is the intention in God's heart? What is God's purpose with when it comes to the gifts? And for the first thing is we're going to go back to Scripture. Let's go back to Paul, 1 Corinthians 12 again. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And that lays the foundation for us. There's four things that I want to highlight from that verse. The first thing is, not one gift is more superior than the other. I think sometimes we look at the gifts and then the guy that comes with the gift of healing, that gets us all rallied up, because if we see a limb growing bigger than the other limb, or what is the different things, or someone getting resurrected from the dead, I mean, that's the one that gets the attention. But for those of us that has ever been in a place in your life where you have hit rock bottom and life is really just, the challenges just keeps on coming and you don't know what is going to happen next and you don't know where's the outcome, where's the light at the end of the tunnel. Have you ever had someone come to you in that moment and speak a word of encouragement to you that hits you straight out of the heart of God and it hits your heart? Have you ever experienced the power of that? And so when the Bible says that it is the same Spirit that does these miraculous things like bringing people out of the dead, it is the same Spirit that brings a word of encouragement. And that you and I should never water down some of the gifts and look at some of them and say, those are the gifts of the Spirit. But these ones, no. Because the enemy uses that. So often the enemy uses that and says, oh, it's too small. What will this encouragement do? What will it help if I just go to him and say, oh, Jesus loves you? You don't know what God can do with that. You don't know what God can do with that. Bring it. And so there's not one gift more superior than the other. The second thing is that is so important is that right throughout God says, uses the thing is, the language of us. It says it is not just one person, but it is us. I don't think it's in this specific one. But anyway, it's us. God gives the gifts to us. There's a plurality in that. It talks about everybody. It's not talking about one person. It talks, and that keeps us safe. Because what would have happened if Andre was the only gifted one in the congregation? That would have been a bit problematic for us, but also for him. But at some point, because you know we're not made to handle that, and I think that's sometimes where there's so much controversy in the world today when it does come to charismatic church and gifting. It is because often it doesn't happen in a safe environment. It doesn't happen in a healthy environment. Because there's the celebrity, almost the celebrity gift that is being raised up in church. And where this one guy, he's got it. And that's not good for us. And that's why the Bible says that all of us have gifting. There's not one of us. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you, there's a gift in you. All of us. Not one of us are excluded from this. The third thing is, it is God's work through you. It's His working. And that is so important for us. And that is actually the third and the fourth point that I want to make. He says that the same God at work. It's not you at work, it's God at work. And that's why it will never be our gifting. It can never be my gift. It's always God's gift that He just applies to through me to whoever He wants to impact and whoever He wants to encounter in that. And doesn't that relieve a lot of pressure from us? I'm thinking about Bossy's Lisa that had the testimony last year. 31 years she walked with something and they got prayed for. 5 years he walked with something and he got prayed for, but God didn't heal at that point. What if all the pressure was on me to make the decision of when and when he should not get healed? Knowing what he's going through, seeing the pain that he is going through. But I'm so glad that I'm not God. Because God knew exactly what He was doing in his life, because God was at work. And there was other things that God also wanted to do with the healing. It wasn't just the healing that God was after. There was other things in that period of 5 years that God was working in his heart, a faithfulness, something in his heart to know that he knows. He will never ever doubt God again, because God did come through. Even if it did take him 5 years. But there was other things in his character. I'm sure that 5 years, that detail that you didn't mention. There's other things that God was doing at the same time. And if I was God, I would have probably healed him in the first day. Because I feel and all of that. But God knows better. But it takes all the pressure off of us, doesn't it? Because I come and I pray and I bring that gift, and God knows when He wants to apply that gift. God knows when is it the best time to do what He wants to do in that. It takes all the pressure off it when it's God at work and not me at work. Yeah. All right, let's go on. Next scripture. 1 Corinthians again. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the common good. Now we come to God's intention. We come to God's common good. His Spirit at work through us for the common good. The gift is not for me, it's for you. That's very important whether we realize that. Because often and it's important how we talk about these things. And I cross on him with Andre. But imagine now, Andre that said, oh, Willem, he's the gift this morning. Oh, and there is that thing, we need to honor one another. And it is important that we honor the gift that is in people. And that is what he did this morning. He's just honoring the gift that is in me. But it is so important that we realize who is the carrier of the gift. It is actually the Holy Spirit that is in me. And then the gift is not about me. The gift is for you. So the most important person in this room this morning is the person that is going to be on the receiving end, not so much the person that is on the giving end of that, when we look at it through God's eyes, because it is for the common good. It's for the people. It's for His people. He wants to encounter people this morning. He wants to touch lives this morning. You see, when I'm obedient and I make myself available for His gift to work through me for your benefit, it becomes something that is absolutely beautiful. I don't think there is anything that captures the beauty and the glory of who Jesus Christ is when the church starts gifting one another, giving one another something of Jesus in love, Haya preached about loving one another a few weeks ago. You remember that? Now, the most beautiful picture is when one of us comes forward, and I'm hoping that this morning we're going to have that opportunity, that we get to pray for one another and that we get to see Jesus move through us and touch people's lives this morning. But that's the most beautiful picture of church. Whenever, and for 5 years we led church in Gabon, and if someone would ask me, what is the most beautiful thing? I said to them, it is when Jesus gets to touch people through people. I don't think there's a more beautiful picture than that. Because Jesus gets glorified. He gets honored in that way, like no other time when we gather. So it is for the common good. It's for you. And so let's go to one other scripture, Peter. Let's walk away from Paul and go to Peter quickly. He says, 1 Peter 4 verse 10, he says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. You see that serving principle there, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I love the way that he put it. Gifts, it's God's grace, God's favor, God's kindness, God's goodness in various forms on each all of us. And we bring that gift and we serve one another through that gift that God has placed in me. Who wants to stand in front of Jesus one day and that he say to you, good and faithful servant? Who wants to hear those words? I don't want to hear those words. Church, this is an area where we get to do that. This is an area, if you want to hear those words from Jesus, it's not the area, it's one of the areas. But if you want to hear that, be a faithful steward of the gift that Jesus has placed in you. What does it mean to be a steward? It means you look after it well. You make sure that it is well nurtured. You grow the gift. You might do everything in your power to grow what God has placed in you so that it might multiply and so that others might, and then you bring it. You bring it. You submit it. You surrender it. You bring it back to Jesus and you say, Jesus, this is yours. Use it however you please, when you want, wherever you want to. That is what it means to be a good steward. Paul makes a stronger statement. When I hear Paul's statement, let's see what Paul's statement is to the Romans. He makes a stronger statement. Romans 12. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now that belongs, puts it again in almost an exaggerated box now, the gifts. When I belong to you, I don't have rights over myself anymore because I belong to you. So whenever I have a gift that is in me, and I said that I live a life that is totally surrendered to Jesus, I've given my life, He's the Lord of my life, then the Bible says now my gift, that what He has placed in me, belongs to you. And the minute that I withhold the gift that is within, that He has placed in me, I'm actually withholding Jesus from you in a way. Does it make sense? Is it recht wat ek sê, André? Not blasphemy. Dwaal hier nie. I'm withholding a piece of Jesus because if I have something in me, a word of encouragement, a word of prophecy, or healing, or a faith work, or whatever one of those things are, or serving, maybe the gift of serving, if I don't bring that to you, you will not get to experience Jesus. And so Paul says, I belong to you. I have an obligation as your brother in Christ to bring what He has placed in me because I belong to you. We belong to one another. Is that good? I cannot and I should not withhold what God has placed in me. I owe it to you. 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm coming in for a landing. Mariela, I'm coming in for a landing. Watch me. Watch this space. I'm going to land this thing. 30 minutes later. One Corinthians, let's go back to Paul. But our bodies have many parts. And God has put each part just where He wants it. I love that. You see, I love that. I don't know why, but it just every time when I read it, it strikes a chord with me. He has placed every piece where He wants it. Do you believe this morning that you are here for a reason. Honestly, say for yourself, do you believe that you are here in this morning, right here, right now, that you are meant to be here? God has strategically placed you here for a specific purpose in this season. Do you believe that? The new person, where's the new people? Do you believe that God has got a purpose for you here this morning? I believe it with all of my heart. There's a reason why you're sitting here this morning. I have no clue what you're going through, but I believe this morning God is speaking to you. And He's got something so specific. But for all of us, how strange a body would it be if it only had one part? Just a Willem or a Andre or a Alan. It would just be awkward, wouldn't it? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. I need you. I, Willem, I need every one of you guys to impact my life through the gift that Jesus has placed in you. I cannot go without you. Every opportunity. I love it when the Lord comes and He just confirms. There's nothing that builds faith when the Lord comes and confirms through prayer meetings and various different people that I had no contact with this week. And He kind of confirms what He wants to do. And it popped up in the prayer meeting. Ian mentioned it, and you mentioned the same scripture that I want to go to next, and which I'm going to end off with. But I believe it was what God wants to do with us this morning, if we allow Him to, and if we just run with wherever the Holy Spirit wants to run with us this morning. And it comes from Luke 4. Bossy, you mentioned it, and Ian mentioned it as well. Let's listen to read it again. Luke 4, from verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Won't you just say it with me? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. With conviction, please. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Richard preached last week about the ingredients of the anointing. And we all listened to the fact that if there's certain ways of God that we walk with, uprightness, purity, walking in step with the Spirit, all of those ingredients, then there's an anointing that comes with that. And that we are a people that walks with the anointing of the Lord on our lives. So, the second verse, because He has anointed me, say it with me, because He has anointed me, for what? To proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I just feel, even, yeah, I've got goosebumps as I'm saying it. I feel that the Lord's favor is with us this morning. You know, there are times in church, I mentioned it to Andre yesterday, there are times in church when we look to Jesus, where Jesus is on the cross, and we are so aware of our sin and our weakness, and we are so aware, and we come and we repent, and we say to Jesus, Jesus, and there is times like those. But I love it that the same Jesus sometimes is the Jesus of Revelation, where He sits on the throne and He is almighty, all powerful, and there's nothing that is not beneath Him and below His feet. And where we not get to come in repentance to Him, but that we can actually come in adoration. And we can come with whatever it is in our lives that is bothering us, that is oppressing us, that is holding us back, that is maybe prohibiting us from walking in what God has for us. And that there are times that we can come to His throne and not the cross. Because when we come to the throne, we meet not just Jesus that died on the cross, not the Lamb of God, but we meet the Lion of Judah. And where Jesus comes in power, and He comes in might, and He moves on our behalf, and He does things in our lives that nobody in this life can do except Jesus.